I have been so looking forward to this conversation with Ruth Phelps, not because she's just come back from California where she's been on the book tour with her latest piece of work called Interlude. But the fact is that I've known about this woman for some time. There was a time, for those of you that are not aware, that maybe if you're listening to this radio show, you were not aware, but she produced a book that was called 11 Weeks. And she basically ripped open her chest. She put her broken heart out on a table, and she told everybody to take a look at it and talked about the 11 weeks that destroyed her soul and broke her heart, and now she sits in studio. How did you do that?
I don't think at that point that I had a choice, because the writing was essentially a diary. It was just my way of coping with what was going
on. So day after day after day after day, yeah, after day, you talked about or wrote about this a-hole who actually was ripping your heart apart each and every day.
Yeah, it was the 11 weeks preceding a breakup, because I read an article that says it takes on average 11 weeks for a broken heart to heal. And I thought, what an interesting concept. I wonder if anyone's ever tried to chronicle that 11 weeks. And so that's just what I did. It just started as a diary, and then it just got very dark and sometimes very funny and very raw and very real. And I just told it as truthfully as I could.
But did you do that journaling, that daily? Did you do that with the idea, I'm going to do this and I'm going to produce a book out of it?
I had previously had the idea that I was going to write a novel. It was a work of fiction, and I was stuck on it. I wasn't making any progress. So I sort of started keeping the diary as a way to just, okay, I'm just going to keep writing. And then pretty early on, I realized, yeah, I'm going to try and turn this into a book.
Did you ever see yourself as a writer?
Well, my mom, so everyone in my family works in radio. I'm a fourth generation broadcaster. And then my mom is also a very notable Canadian.
Could you say that again?
I'm a fourth generation broadcaster.
The things you don't know about the people you know. I had no idea about that.
Yeah. So like my grandpa worked in Vancouver at CJOR back in the 1950s. And him and his dad had the longest running radio show in Canadian history called Breakfast with Brown. And then he passed away in 1990. My dad and my mom and my nana and I continued to run the business. My dad was a morning host in my hometown. My mom was a writer, producer, worked at the radio station.
So it's in your DNA.
Yeah. So my mom was always really into writing, and I've always loved storytelling. I mean, ultimately, that's why I was drawn to radio, is just the connection that you can have with people through storytelling and sharing. And so I always knew I wanted to write, but I don't think I ever thought I'd finish anything, to be honest.
So 11 weeks that chronicles this tragic, terrible time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You write it. How did you make it into a book?
So I approached several publishing companies, and it was well received by many of them. However, most of them advised me, I would not publish this if I were you. It's too vulnerable. It's too personal. And you won't be able to come back from this. So when someone Googles your name for the rest of your life, this is what you're going to be met with. And I was like, yeah, I know. And I actually had one woman go so far as to specifically tell me, I think the exact words she used were, some doors are better left closed.
Holy moly.
And so I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to publish it myself then.
So you did.
And so I did. So
self-published is the phraseology that's out there so often. So many people are self-published now.
Totally. Yeah. And within 24 hours, it hit the bestsellers list in three different categories on Amazon, and the Hot 100 was number one bestseller, and it did exceptionally well. And I was just kind of in awe.
Those people who worked at those publishing companies that gave you the punt out the door are no longer working at those offices, because the owners of the publishing company said, you had her in here and you told her.
Yeah, so it was a really interesting experience to just try and decide to proceed with it aside from what I'd been told. And I just thought, well, you know, if I sell one book and that's me buying my own copy for prosperity's sake, that'll be that. And it was astoundingly pleasantly surprising, which is why I decided to do the second book, because the first book left you with some questions about where I was at and what had happened. And so
was that intentional?
I don't think so. I don't think I knew where it was at.
You didn't end the first book leaving everybody hanging, automatically creating another 11,000 customers for your second book.
No, it was just sort of like, okay, well, here's all the information I have at the time, and I can't tell you what the future looks like. So Interlude sort of bridges that gap.
Where do you find the time to do this? Because you're now the midday host at Easy Rock, our sister station, one door away from this one. You come in here. I come in here at 5 or 1:45. You come in here not many minutes after I do.
Yeah.
You plunk yourself in a recording studio down the hall. Like time. And trust me, I'm aware of how precious time is.
Yeah, I write every day when I get home. When I wrote the first book, I...
Disciplined writing?
Disciplined,
like,
yeah.
I'm home by 3, and by 3:30, you're in front of your word processor.
You have to allot the time in. Even on days when you don't feel like writing, when you're not sure what you're going to write about, if I'm stuck, I write poetry, I write funny short stories, just something to
You've
keep
got to
me
write
in the
something.
Habit of writing, right? That's the... People are like, I want to write a book. What do you do? And really, it's, like, super simple. It's like, you sit down and you write. You just have to force yourself to do it.
So you're telling me that writers are not born, they're made.
Yeah, 100%. They're, I think you just have to be committed to the process. That's all it is.
So what has happened with the second book, Interlude? I mean, I just high five you, girl, having had the courage and the decision to say, I'm going to do this anyway. You don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Publisher's representative. You can take your high-flying office and you can, I'm going to slam the door in your face, which is exactly what you did.
Yeah, so with Interlude, I just released it and I thought, well, we'll see how this does. And it immediately, again, hit the Amazon Hot 100. Which is the 100 best-selling books on all of Amazon. You got to think there's 11 million books on Amazon, and every 4 minutes, a new book is self-published.
You lie.
So
every 4 minutes, somebody is putting a book up?
Yeah, every 4 minutes, someone publishes a book.
How do you make noise and get noticed?
I really don't know. I don't know what the secret ingredient is. I think for me, it's just been being...
You.
Yeah, being as open as I can, and that's kind of seemed to work for me so far. And it hit number one on the Hot 100, number one on the Hot New Releases, and number one.
So you've had two books that are Hot 100s.
Yeah,
within a day of being released and up on Google, amongst the other hundreds of thousands of books. You hit the hot one. You hit the number one spot on the Hot 100.
Yeah. And I was really excited, too, because they break it down into different categories as well. So I hit number one in the category of humor, marriage, and sex, because, you know, those three are all pretty tied. So
humor. I have no sense of humor. Marriage, I failed at miserably a
Me
number
too.
Of times. The only part of it that worked was the sex part of it. And I don't talk about that. So
thank you.
TMA. So I want to go back, though, to these know-all, omnipotent publishers reps that you went to, and they told you, no, too vulnerable, nobody wants that, too much heart, nobody wants that. In truth, are we hungry for depth in relationship, and maybe that's what you were showing?
Yeah, I think so. I think people are hungry to not feel alone and to not feel broken. And so when they hear someone else who was at that time as broken as I was and saying the things that maybe they were afraid to say out loud, that was what cut through.
Do you think you precipitated a bunch of breakups?
I don't know. I hope not.
You know, after reading your book, I finally had courage to do something.
No, I think it was more like, oh, I'm
for
shattered
hundreds of-
and now I'm picking this book up because I don't know what else to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm straight ahead. What do we call this? A full disclosure.
Yeah.
What, I haven't read your book.
That's
and,
okay.
And I apologize. I have enough hard time finding time to read other books I know I need to read.
Yeah.
Not that I don't need to read yours, but congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I think that's really cool. And we'll do an update just before Christmas.
Awesome.
I mean, what a great gift to give to somebody that, you know, a two volume a gift beautifully wrapped in white paper with a red heartbroken bow.
Oh, I can see it in my mind.
All right. Rue Phelps, middays at Easy Rock, right next door to us here, but two books, beautiful books. And the latest, of course, is Interlude. That comes on the backside of 11 weeks. You might want to Google her up and take a look. Thank you so much.